Please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter number 2. For those of you who are here on Sunday night, we had an introduction to our new series, our new Wednesday night series, entitled The Miracles of Christ. The Miracles of Christ. And we're looking forward in this these Wednesday night studies to seeing once again what the Lord would have for us, to strengthen us in our walk with Him and our relationship with Him. And this evening we are going to the first miracle. Amen. The beginning of miracles in the Lord's ministry, John chapter number 2. Let's read verses 1 to 11 and we'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's some good advice. Amen. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Verse 6. And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and where men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us in giving us an opportunity this evening to open your precious word, to learn of thee. Lord, help us now, we pray, to open our hearts to the word of God. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you may be glorified, and that we, as we leave this place, would desire to be a people that would love you more and follow you and serve you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you may have noticed we don't have any handouts this evening because these messages will be more devotional than practical, in the sense you won't need to take home notes with you. And so we're going to just have the Word of God this evening. So don't be confused. You didn't miss out on any handouts. But this evening we're looking at the beginning of miracles. And that's what John chapter 2 verse 11 says. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Now before we go any further, let me say that this is one of the most well-known miracles in the Bible. And we know that here in the scriptures, the Lord miraculously transformed water into wine. Now, this evening, because our focus is on the Lord, we're not going to do an exhaustive study of whether this was alcohol or not. But let me say very simply, we do know this, and there's much more to share, but we do know this, that the Lord would never have contradicted or he would never have gone against the word of God. Never would have contradicted the word of God. And some of you may have remembered in our studies on revival during the thing, we studied the book of Habakkuk. Now you remember in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible says very clearly, Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Isn't that correct? That puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken. So we know the Lord would not have given wine to a crowd that had already drunken the wine that they had and made this crowd even drunker. The Lord would not have done that. We understand what the Lord turned this water into was wine in the sense of where it came from, vinos, the fruit of the vine. And the Lord provided a wonderful miracle, and a miracle we can certainly learn from this evening. But let me remind you, the focus is not on the wine. Amen? The focus is not on the wedding, the focus is on the Lord. This beginning of miracles, the Bible tells us, did Jesus. The focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle worker. Now in verse 11, we find three truths that tie all the events of this miracle together. Notice there in verse 11, in John chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says that this was the beginning of miracles. Now that's significant, because if you think about it, the Lord, during the start of his public ministry, was already 30 years of age, and until then he had performed no miracle. He had not displayed his miraculous might and power as the living God upon the earth. Now, let's understand that before this point, the Lord could have done the miraculous. Is that right? Now, as a boy, as a child, or as a teenager, he could have done the miraculous. He could have performed miracles. In fact, he could have, by this stage, been idolized by the world if he wanted to, like many young people today. They use their gifts and their talents and expose them to the world because they want to be popular. They want to be the next Australian Idol, if you will, with their voice, the next American Idol. You see, the Lord wasn't after popularity. This was his first miracle. Now, just before this event took place, we see the temptation of the Lord in the wilderness. Now, how many days was the Lord fasting in the wilderness? Who can remember? 40 days. 40 nights the Lord fasted. And when did Satan come to him and tempt him? When he was hungered. Don't miss it. The Lord had a physical body. He suffered as a man. God in the flesh. He suffered in the body of a man. He hungered. And if he wanted to, he could have instantly turned those stones into bread. He could have eaten and filled his stomach to the full and satisfied his desires. But you see, the Lord wasn't looking for popularity, and he wasn't seeking to fulfill his own needs and pleasure. What we see here in John chapter 2 is that the very first miracle that the Lord displayed wasn't for his own need. It wasn't for his own popularity. The Lord's first miracle was done to provide for the need of others. Is that right? That's what we see. Here there was a wedding. Now a Jewish wedding was a very noble occasion. And certainly this was a noble wedding. But remember, we're talking about Cana of Galilee. This was a peasant village. This was a poor part of Judea. These people were farmers. These people were fishermen. These people were hard-working peasants. They were poor. So when it came to this wedding, the bride and the bridegroom and the family did what they could. They did their best. But you see, there were so many guests that very quickly the refreshments ran out. They ran out so quickly, they had nothing left. And when the Lord Jesus Christ turned up, there was no wine. There were no refreshments. All that was left was water. But what we see wonderfully in John chapter 2 is the Lord turned up on the scene, as you often hear in wedding ceremonies. He adorned the wedding with his presence. Amen. And that changed everything. And what I want us to notice, first of all, that in this beginning of miracles, the Son of God, who could have worked a miracle in the wilderness to provide for his own hunger, performed his first miracle to satisfy the needs of others. To satisfy the needs of others. And this beginning of miracles set the pattern and the course for the rest of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20. You see, in the Lord's first miracle, we see the Lord. We see His humility. We see His selflessness. We see His love. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. The Bible says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." My friends, if there was anyone that was worth honoring at this wedding and being ministered unto, it was the Lord. But the Bible says He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. To what end? And to give His life a ransom for many. You see, in the Lord's first miracle, He was displaying His love. He was displaying His heart for the lost. He was displaying His love for those in need. That's why until 30 years of age, He did not perform a miracle. He waited until this wedding to do the miraculous, to perform a miracle for those in need. You see, at the beginning of His ministry, He provided the wedding guests a wonderful gift. And at the end of His ministry, He provided the world the greatest gift. Amen? He gave Himself. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one whom we're going to learn about in these studies on the miracles of Christ. You see, the miracles of Christ are not meant to dazzle or to set us back in awe and to think, wow, that's amazing, and we read on. No, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to us. And that's whom He revealed in this miracle. I hope you can see the picture of Christ's love. They were embarrassed. Imagine, Brother Ian, you plan the wedding and three times as many people turn up and the food disappears in a flash. There's nothing left to drink. It would be embarrassing. Those of us who have married, maybe you've experienced that yourself. People like to eat at a wedding. Oftentimes people want to be served. But can you see the Lord's love? He saw them in their need. And in His mercy, He performed a miracle to provide for their need. In His loving kindness, He saw their need and He provided abundantly for it. In His graciousness, though as a guest He deserved to be served, though as God He deserved to be worshipped, He is the one who served. You see, this is the beginning of miracles. Christ serving others. Christ giving of Himself to others. Christ providing for the needs of others. My friends, we have a wonderful Savior, do we not? We have a wonderful Lord. Philippians chapter number 2. Because we don't have any notes, we're going to look up the Word of God in these studies. So please be ready to turn in your Bibles. Philippians chapter number 2. Familiar verses, but they need to continue to touch our hearts. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but notice verse 7, made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant." Isn't that what we see here in the first miracle? He took upon Himself the form of the servant. In fact, if you study these verses out, He didn't talk to the director of the wedding, if you will, the wedding director, the MC, Brother Andy. He didn't talk to the MC about what He wanted to do. He didn't talk to the bridegroom or the bride. He spoke to the servants. Even in the miraculous, He was humble. And He made Himself of no reputation. He became a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, Christ came to suffer. Christ came to serve. And greatest of all, my friends, He came to be the sacrifice for your sins and mine. You know, just like in this wedding, did not the Lord see us in our need when He came? Did He not see us in our shame and our sin, in our suffering, in our embarrassment, in our guilt? Did not the Lord see our need? And He came and He performed the greatest miracle, the miracle of the Son of God, hung on the cross and there in that place on Calvary, bearing the weight of the sins of the entire history of mankind.
Amen.
Your sins and mine.
Thank you, Lord.
That is the beginning of miracles. Christ providing for the needs of others. What a wonderful start. Amen. What a wonderful revelation of the Lord. Well, let's continue on. John chapter 2, verse 11. Back in John chapter 2, verse 11 tells us it was the beginning of miracles. In Cana of Galilee, notice also, he manifested forth his glory. It was a glorious miracle. The word manifested means to display, to show. That was the purpose of this miracle. The Lord began to show forth his glory. You see, everyone that witnessed the miracle knew straight away that this power could not come from an ordinary man. It has to come from a supernatural source. It must be attributed to deity, to the Lord. And the Lord began to show forth his glory, his power. He was indeed the promised Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the one that had been foretold from the foundation of the earth. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had come and he had begun to show forth his glory. Notice what John said in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Why don't we read this verse aloud together to stay awake? John chapter 1 and verse 14. On to 1, 2. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Lord was revealing his glory. And he wasn't a conquering king who desired to condemn. Remember, the Lord did not come into the world to condemn us. The Lord came to save us, the Bible says. He came to redeem us from our iniquities. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. And in this miracle, he was glorified as a servant to provide for those in need. He was glorified. And it was a glorious miracle. It was a powerful miracle. He changed water miraculously into wine. Now, this is something special. Because as we think of what the Lord did, notice he didn't just give this wedding and their guests what they needed. You see, if the Lord gave them what they needed, well, he could have just commanded the water pots to be filled with water, and that was it. Because they'd ran out of their refreshing fruit of the vine, this luxurious drink that they presented at special occasions and weddings, a wonderful, refreshing drink. They'd run out of that. Well, what's left? Fill it up with water. Now, for those of you who go out to eat, I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. You look at the menu, you think, wow, that's not too bad. Prices aren't too bad. Maybe we might stay here. And then you look at the cost of the drinks. And you think to yourself, ah, now we know where they make their money. Isn't that right? And if you're a family, you look at the cost of a jug of juice. You say, well, all right, we'll order one. And then when that's finished, they come around and they ask you, well, shall we top that up? And what's the answer usually? No, that's fine. We'll just have water. You know, when we run out of soft drink, we're satisfied with water. That'll do. Isn't that right? But you see, the Lord didn't just provide for these ones what they needed. He provided for them what was satisfying, what was enjoyable. That's what the Lord provided for them. That was this first miracle, the beginning of miracles in Cana of Galilee. He didn't just provide for them what would do, he gave them what was satisfying. He gave the gift of a sweet, refreshing refreshment that would bring joy and gladness to their hearts. You see, here we see another wonderful picture of the ministry of our Lord, do we not? The work of our Lord. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. My friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from sin, when we repent of our sins and we receive him as our personal Savior and we experience the cleansing and forgiveness of sin once and for all, my friends, the work of salvation doesn't stop there. He doesn't just remove the penalty of sin. He doesn't just remove the guilt of sin. He doesn't just remove the shame of sin. My friends, He replaces the wickedness of sin with the precious presence and joy of the presence of God. The Lord doesn't just forgive us for our sins when we're saved. My friends, He dwells within us. We are born again by the Spirit of God. And our Bibles tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, a blessing and richness to life that you and I never had before. In fact, all we had was the opposite. Darkness, despair, depression, tragedy, heartbreak. But the Lord does much more than just give us water, does He not? He gives us living water. He gives us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That is our Lord. You know, as we sing the hymn, More About Jesus, that's the Lord's hymn. He always gives us more than we ever deserve. And the Christian life is all about more, as we draw close to Him more, as we get to know Him more. My friends, our life continues to overflow with the blessing of the Lord as we get to know Him. Now, my prayer through this series is that we'll get to know the Lord more. We will love Him more. We will see the heart of the Lord for us more and desire to draw closer to Him. See, the Lord desires to, if I can use this little analogy, He desires to fill us up to the brim. Amen?
That's right.
He desires to fill us up to the brim, but we need to be careful, because you and I can do our best, can we not? Just like at this wedding. We can use what we have and try and do our best in our life, and yet we can still find ourselves absolutely empty. Why is that? Because it's the Lord whom we need. Amen? He needs to be in our lives. He needs to be in the picture. We need the Lord each and every day. You see, it's the Lord, and He's the only one we see in this first miracle. He's the only one that has the supply for our need. Perhaps some of you this evening are empty. Perhaps you're dried up inside. Perhaps you're longing for the Lord's blessing, but in your life you look inside and within and you say, Pastor, I'm dry. Pastor, my water pot is empty. Let me encourage you. The Lord is whom you need. My friend, He is the one that has the supply that we need in His person and presence in our lives. And we are all dry at times, are we not? It can happen from one day to the next, where we stop spending time with the Lord. We stop casting down imaginations and wicked thoughts fill our minds. We stop praying to the Lord. It can happen from one day to the next. But thank God. Thank God He is there. Amen. He is there. We simply need to cry out to the Lord. And He promises to supply our need. He is our satisfaction. You might be here this evening. You might say, well, Pastor, I can't imagine how the Lord can restore that joy I once had. I don't know how He can fill my heart with that joy unspeakable, as the Bible says. Well, let me encourage you this evening. This is the first miracle. And once we are saved, my friends, the miracles continue. God wants to do the supernatural. He can revive our hearts. He can come down upon our lives like the refreshing rain upon a dry ground. Revival is a miracle. But it can't come from you and I trying to do better in 2016. It can only come by you and I turning our hearts afresh to the Lord and saying, Lord, fill my life with Your presence. I need the Lord's presence in this coming year. But I need it greater than last year. Because there was some dryness in my life last year, as I'm sure there was in yours. You see, the Lord's work is a glorious work. And He wants to accomplish that in us. Amen. It was a glorious miracle. A glorious miracle. And Christ is a glorious Savior that satisfies. A selfless Savior. A satisfying Savior. And also a saving Savior. Verse 11, notice what the Bible says in chapter 2 as we close. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And notice, his disciples believed on him. Now don't miss it. In this first miracle, the Lord wants us to teach us something very important. The Lord never performed miracles just to stun a crowd. He didn't perform the miraculous just to get people's attention and for them to stand back and go, wow, that's great, and walk on in the same direction with the rest of their lives. No, the Lord performed wonders and signs and powers and miracles so that people would be confronted with the question, what will we do with this Jesus? You see, it was a confronting miracle. Those around him were confronted with who is this miracle worker. Now, verse number 9, notice there, the ruler of the feast, or the wedding director, we could say, did not know where this wine miraculously came from. He didn't know. The Lord only spoke to the servants. But the Bible tells us in verse number 9, the servants knew. But it is only in verse 11 that we see that it is his disciples that believed. His disciples believed. The ruler did not know. The servants knew. But his disciples believed. And in this Wednesday night devotional series, we need to ask ourselves the question, what are we going to do with the Lord? You know, isn't it true? Perhaps some of us have already started reading through the Gospels. We read the miraculous and we say to ourselves, well, that's nice. And we move on. We say, that's amazing. And then we keep reading on. And we don't stop to see that this Lord is our Lord. My friends, if the Lord never changes, and if he can perform miracles in the past, then he still does in the present, and he still desires to in our lives, in our families, in our children's lives, in our church, in our soul winning, the Lord still wants to do the miraculous. But the question is, will we believe on him? Well, first of all, let me ask, have you invited him into your life to be your personal savior from sin? You see, he was invited to the wedding. The Lord wants to come. But have we invited him to save us? Have we invited him to be our savior from sin? My friends, that's where the miracles begin. And then after we are saved, if you are a Christian this evening, who do you believe the Lord to be? Who do you believe him to be? It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to know him. Amen. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're saved, we are yet babes, the Bible says. Babes that are to feed on the milk of the Word. But time ought to come where we start to feed on the deeper truths. We start to dig deeper. We start to look at the Word of God like we're going to look on Wednesday nights and rejoice even more in the Savior that we have. But what will we believe as we come away with these truths tonight? Do we really believe that the Lord is as loving as he shows himself to be? That he can meet your need and mine every single day, and we don't need anything or anyone else except the Lord to provide for those needs? My friends, if we believe the Lord is who he says he is, he can fill that water pot of your life with the fullness of his joy, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his blessing, if that's whom we believe he is to be. You know, if we believe the Lord can still do the miraculous, my friends, that will change our prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, let me guarantee you. The more we believe the Lord is who he says he is, like the disciples believed, my friends, the more we will see the miraculous to come. And the more we see, the more we will want to pray. And the more, let me say, prayer that we pray will be heard of the Lord. The Lord says, not only you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we're not excited by prayer because we don't believe the Lord can do the impossible, which he can, and he desires to. But secondly, we don't pray believing. We don't pray in faith. We don't believe he can do the miraculous in the situation we believe is impossible right now. But the Lord says, yes, I can. Didn't need to touch those water pots, by the way. He willed the water into wine. Amen? That's the miraculous power and love and grace of the Lord. We could be here all night, I hope you can see, just looking at these passages. But let me ask you this evening, do you believe in the Lord for your needs? Is the Lord with you in your daily walk? As the Lord has led us to these studies, let's expect great things from Him. Amen? But it needs to start with this beginning of miracles. What do we believe about the Lord? Will we trust Him in Him more? Will we love Him more? Will we desire more of Jesus in our lives? Maybe you're here this evening and you don't know where to start. You might say, Pastor, my life is just so far from the Lord. I know it. The Lord knows it. I don't want anyone else to know it. I don't know where to start. My friend, we've all been there. Verse 5 is a good place to start. As Mary said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Amen? That's faith. That's trusting in the Lord. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's where the miracles begin, my friend, in our lives. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And you will see the fullness of blessing and the fullness of joy and the fullness of the Lord in our daily life. Be careful. Be careful with what we're learning on Wednesday nights. Because if you desire more of the Lord, if your heart is surrendered to the Lord, He promises to fill our lives to the brim. The question is, will we believe in Him?